This could be the reason why we're in the state we're in right now. All right, 212-209-2950. We have one call on the line. Let's join that call with other pledges. What we're going to do now is go into another part of H2K2 where we'll kind of bring you back to that conference if you were there. If you weren't there, you'll hear some of the shenanigans that took place. And boy, we certainly had fun. We certainly had all kinds of things. This was a panel that I was on. And it's something I'll never forget for the rest of my life. The social engineering panel.
Oh, okay? This was fun.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. Where basically, for those who don't know, social engineering is where you try to get information from somebody who's not supposed to give you that information, you know, information on where something is or how something works, things like that. So what we're going to do now is play some excerpts from that. And again, the phone number 212-209-2950. You'll get, if you choose, you'll get this particular hour and two more, or any 3 hours that you want for a pledge of $75 on video, VCD. Or for a pledge of $125, you'll get that as well as a 2600 hooded sweatshirt. For any pledge $25 or over, you'll get the off-the-hook T-shirt, which we're giving to our donations tonight. 212-209-2950. Is our phone number. You're listening to an expanded edition of Off the Hook. We're on the air tonight from 7 o'clock until 10 o'clock. We're taking over two other hours tonight. And for those of you tuning in for the personal computer show, well, it's not going to be on this week, unfortunately, because we're on instead. And we need to hear from you. 212-209-2950. Let's journey back now. Oh, listen to that. That's the sound of a CD in pause.
Hmm.
Isn't that cool? So I'm going to hit a button, and that's going to turn this into English, and you'll hear something that happened back in July 2002. At the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York, where we kind of made history with social engineering. Again, 212-209-2950. Please call while this is playing. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Social engineering and make a few pitiful attempts ourselves at getting someone to tell us something they really shouldn't tell us. Does anybody have the advisory that got issued? There's a slash dot thing a couple of days ago. Does anybody have a printout of that or a computer we could read? I know it's on the web. I'm not on the web. I'm on the stage. But basically, this happened a couple of years ago. If anyone has it, just bring it up. This is on a piece of paper, printout, whatever. A couple of years ago, when we had H2K, there was a similar advisory from AT&T Security. And they were basically asking people... Is everybody getting that feedback, or is it just me? Okay. Maybe we should not have that. Thank you. Basically they sent out an advisory, a warning, saying that a bunch of hackers are getting together. It might be social engineering as part of some sort of competition or something like that. So we called them last time and asked them about that, and they gave us some information they shouldn't have given us. Thank you. It was all in good fun, though. We told him, but he hung up after he found out who we were. Let's see.
Hung up
this,
in fear.
This is the memo that went out to people on AT&T, I believe. Caution, be careful about giving information to anyone you don't know and those making unusual information requests by claiming to be an AT&T employee or customer. Claiming to be an AT&T customer, I didn't know that was something that was unusual. The H2K2, Hackers on Planet Earth 2002 Hacker Conference, will take place this weekend, Friday, July 12th, Sunday, July 14th, 2001. I don't quite know. This is AT&T, after all. In New York City, this conference will be a gathering of over 5,000 computer hackers. Well, they really anticipate a lot more people than we actually thought we'd get ourselves. Guest speakers, computer enthusiasts, and then they give the website, which was nice. In 1994, 1997, and 2000, at the previous HOPE Hackers on Planet Earth conferences, live demonstrations of social engineering techniques were performed in front of thousands of hackers and other attendees. The hacker panel... This is like a PR announcement for us. Great. The hacker panel... In fact, I'm wondering if somebody actually managed to get this issued as an AT&T memorandum who doesn't work for AT&T. The hacker panel dialed live into AT&T offices and centers and demonstrated how to get proprietary information by pretending to be an AT&T employee and customer. Okay? These calls were recorded and videotaped by the hackers and are sold as instructional material at future hacker conferences. There is a very high likelihood that AT&T will be a target again this weekend. Does anyone have their phone number? I don't have their phone. If anyone has AT&T corporate security phone number, please let us know. Found a memo? Oh, Lord. We don't have
it
to do
like
anything. They do it all themselves.
We were scraping for ideas, and they just gave them all to us.
We're never going to be able to get through now. Okay, the social engineering contest is scheduled for Sunday, July 14th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time. During this period, hackers may be dialing into AT&T to get information. AT&T Network Security would like to warn our employees to be on guard this entire weekend for any unknown person calling and claiming to be an AT&T employee to request proprietary information or claiming to be an AT&T customer with unusual requests. Remember, if anyone who is unknown to you calls for proprietary information or makes unusual requests, please follow your procedure by requesting additional information to ensure the person is who they say they are before giving out any information. If the person is claiming to be an AT&T employee, please request name, callback, and HRID number. That's interesting. Now we know that. Do you have my HRID number? I seem to have forgotten it. Then verify... Is that Human Resources ID? Okay. Then verify through post or the email global address list if the information is correct, and even request to call the employee back at their contact number. If the person is claiming to be an AT&T customer, verify this by requesting additional info on their account, like address and social security number, which I never gave to AT&T, and even request to call the person back at their contact number listed on the account. Please be on guard for any unusual requests. Verify the person is an AT&T employee or legitimate customer, and if they have a need to know the information they are asking. If you can't verify employment or number, don't give out the information. If you are still in doubt regarding the legitimacy of the caller, then speak to a supervisor regarding the situation before proceeding further and inform the caller you will call them back. If you still have questions, you can call the security hotline, which number is on here, which I'd be a fool to read here. Remember, you do not want to be the lucky guest of honor on a telephone call from the hacker conference this weekend.
Whatever happened to Jim 2 years ago, anyway.
With thousands of hackers listening to you and attempting to scam AT&T out of proprietary information, please be on guard.
Well,
if that's not an invitation, I don't know what is. I honestly don't know if this number is right or if it's not going to work or if it's busy or whatever. great. Okay, it's been tried. Okay, well, you know, we can try something, I guess. I don't know how well this is going to work. Is this phone actually hooked up? Let's see if we get a dial tone. Still got those clicks. Okay, it's going to be extremely loud when I dial, so please turn down the audio. And now they can hear me on this? Okay, great. Stop breaking the dial tone. Well, stop breaking the dial tone. Okay. I think that's the phone. Uh-oh. This is going to make a horrible off-the-hook noise. If you're... Okay, well, why is this my tele-social engineering story while we're getting the technical snafus worked out? Yeah, introduce yourselves.
I need a microphone. There we are. Well, yeah, I just kind of didn't really know I was going to be on this panel today, but to take up some time, I have some real funny social engineering stories. Some of them I tried to get okayed with my partner in crime, but I couldn't seem to find him. Probably some of the best social engineering that we ever did was with the Caldor telephone system. Back in the day, before Caldor went bankrupt for reasons which I'm not entirely sure of, they used to have a PBX system, you know, private branch exchange, which had a number very similar to their actual store number. I think the last four digits of the number were something like 6670, and the actual PBX number was 6668. It was just a couple digits off. Now, to the untrained ear, it would sound like you got a, like you were hung up on. You get a dial tone. But we were smart enough to know that it was a PBX and it needed a four-digit code to get in. So for a while, we didn't quite know what the code was. until one night we were on a conference call and we said, you know what, let's try C-A-L-D for Caldor. 2253, I think it was, and it let us right in. And a friend of mine happened to be quite familiar with their phone system and knew that once you got into the internal phone system, all you had to dial was 63 and your call would be transferred over to the store's PA system. So from anywhere in the world, you could take control of any Caldor phone system, any PA system. They all had the same code on it in the entire East Coast of the United States, 2253. So we used to call up. We read the entire first page of Clockwork Orange over the PA system. We used to put ridiculous items on sale for the first 10 people that can get to the back of the store. You know, the 10-disc Sony CD changer will be $20. A 10% discount for anybody wearing red, things like that. And please clean up the Z-Men section. That kind of stuff. We used to play Ministry over the PA system. Finally, they caught on and realized that the way that they could stop us from taking total control over the store would be to make a page over us. So we'd have a good 5 or 6 seconds, and then somebody would make a page over us. But the funny thing about it was they always thought it was somebody in the store. They had no idea there was any way in which somebody from outside the store could get into their phone system. And other stores, busier stores where people would be stocking up at night, we'd get on the PA system and say, I'm in the store. That was fun. We also got a couple H2K2 attendees this weekend. I don't know if anybody got a call from Jonathan Guile at the front desk just to make sure everybody was very okay. And we like to tell our H2K attendees the rules very clearly about the hotel. Most specifically, that lights out were at 10 p.m. People caught on when we said that, but up until then, it was pretty funny. But that was us, if you got a call. Anyone else have any other funny stories? Short Cheshire
question. What's the public consumption question?
That's true.
So there's a time I. Okay, is my mic hot? Thank you. I used to play with the Marisat network, the Maritime Communications Satellite Network, back in the 70s. Went to a West Coast computer fair. This is back when I lived in New York City, and I was playing on Marisat, the Maritime Communications Satellite. And from here, we're only about 40 miles from Southbury, where the Atlantic Satellite Station is, where the Atlantic satellites. I went to California to visit a ComSat General Earth Station and was invited into by the station engineer because the station manager was out of town when I called up to request. Basically, I was reporting for ROM Magazine. The fellow who was the personal computer editor of the New York Times was a friend of mine and was starting ROM Magazine at the time, Read Only Magazine. So, as communications editor of ROM, I called and asked for a tour of the Earth Station. The station engineer invited me in, and we're talking to the telex and telephone operators. Now, they're rather confused because while they have to place the telephone calls for the guys on the ships all the time, it wasn't automatic service in those early days, they were surprised that there was so much work on the telex call they had them do as well. Now, I had it over on them because I'd been to a ship and they hadn't. So I explained about my buddy Antonio on the Italica. I just took the bus out of Port Authority, crossed over to Secaucus and visited his ship. And when his ship had docked, he still had to run up and down the ladders passing message traffic for the captain. He had to sit with the ear cans listening to Morse code from Rome because Marisat was still too expensive to use on a day-to-day basis, typing into a Ditto Master to run off a daily newspaper for the crew. He also had to keep his radars working for the ship, safety of life at sea issues. He still had the 500 kilohertz radios he had to keep a watch on in case of a seaborne disaster they could respond to. That was back in the days when Morse code was still king. And, ladies, any work these guys can slough off on anybody else, you're going to see it. Well, after my host heard this story about the guys on the ships, he's looking at me with a slim look of respect because I actually know what I'm talking about. The guys on the ships. We leave that room, and we're in the corridor. My girlfriend, who's with us on the tour, asks him a question. I don't even know what it was at the time. But while he's answering that, I'm looking at the company bulletin board next to us. You know, the local softball league sports. The company picnic is coming up. And the telex from Washington said that unauthorized access to Marisat-Cheshire. And if this Cheshire character were to pop up on your terminal, to hit the figs D to catch the answer back from his terminal, we can find out where the hell he is. Well, of course, I was using a Model 33 teletype from my place of business where we had Model 33s with the Altair 8800 computers and the acoustic coupler. That's how I got into the Twix teletype network, which sent me out to Marisat. But seeing that memo on the wall from Washington, that's why I went 3,000 miles to visit an Earth station before I went 40 miles up the road.
Okay, we're gonna try this again. This is a warning. I'm gonna pick up the phone so we don't deafen the people in the audience. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Keep in mind also some people can read touchtone here.
The number that is not available from your calling area.
Those bastards. The calling area, no doubt, in this block. That's.
You have dialed a number that is not available from your calling area. 1202.
Okay. The suggestions we're getting are to opt-divert. Well, the thing is, okay, here's the problem. You can talk about this problem, Bernie.
We probably had to make about 25 or 30 telephone calls over the past 2 or 3 weeks to get Verizon to simply install 2 regular phone lines up here on the 18th floor of the hotel.
I hung up.
Yeah. You're hung up now.
Okay.
Just unbelievable mistakes Verizon was making. Every conceivable step of the way, if there was any possible way to get something wrong, they did. And they even figured out ways I couldn't figure out to get this wrong. Up until yesterday, we finally had everything working, including a long-distance service on both lines. And today, no long-distance service on either line. In fact, there's just no long-distance carrier on either line. So we had to get some AT&T calling cards to make these long-distance calls with. So you have to bear with a little extra dialing.
Could I make a quick announcement apropos of Bernie's story? I actually run a website, VerizonEatsPoop.com. It was out of commission for a while, but we're back up and running, selling T-shirts and making Verizon mad. So we hope to see a grievance from Bernie soon.
Okay, so we have someone donated some AT&T calling cards to us. Not, you know, someone else's. The prepaid calling cards, which... I'm not sure if this will allow us. What's this? This. Yes,
someone,
yeah.
Just handed up,
yeah, someone also handed us an HRID number, which they somehow got. So the idea is I'm going to try to call the 800 number off this thing. Is that going to work? Well, we can try, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So the first thing we do is we call the... of course, my code is going to go out to the world. Oops, I misdialed. I'm sorry. It happens. All right, try again.
You have dialed a number that is not available from your calling area.
Did they cut us off completely from 800 numbers, too?
You know, I wonder... It makes me wonder if the person who wrote that memo had anything to do with a change of service... on these lines overnight.
That is not 1-800
number.
1-202.
Okay.
Jim, get ready.
Okay, 1 minute. All right, we'll try 1-10-288, see what happens.
AT&T.
Where's the phone? Please call the manager. you are calling. For 00 info, U.S. directory, press 1. For other requests, please say information or credit now. For rates, terms, and conditions, press 0.
What am I doing?
Please hold for operator assistance.
I'm going to ask her for help.
AT&T, how may I help you?
Yes, hi. We're trying to get through out on this line. I'm calling from AT&T Repair, HRID 847-5324. We're having trouble reaching 800 numbers on this line. Are you able to patch us through?
Not an 800 number, I can't. I'm sorry. The other number I can't, that's toll free.
I'm sorry, I'm not getting you.
I cannot dial any toll free number for you at all. I'll transfer you to a different box.
All right, thanks.
AT&T Supplies, I'm sorry, if you're in trouble.
Can I help you? Yes, actually, hi. This is Randy Weaver from a repair. We're working on a line in the Hotel Pennsylvania, and we're trying to get out on the 800 line, and we're having trouble with that. I was wondering if you might be able to help us.
I'm very sorry, sir, but the operators are not able to dial 1-800 numbers.
Well, what happens if you try?
I won't be able to try, sir.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, I will not be able to try.
Uh-huh,
if this is 800 repair, I can give you the number if you want to try to reach the 800 repair service center.
800 repair service center? Sure, why not?
The number to call is 1-800-332-3000.
Hello?
Randy, did you get the number?
No, I didn't get it.
Hey, Randy, I'm sorry. You said you were with repair. Is that correct?
It's on, yeah.
Okay.
So I had the TV on.
All right, then, Randy, then you should know what number you need to contact.
Oh, that's the problem. I'm trying to contact that 800 number, and it's not going through.
Well, Randy, I'm sorry. I won't be able to help.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. I will not be able to assist you.
You know, this is why we don't make any money. We don't cooperate with each other. Okay. Thanks, anyway.
Good day.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of the H2K2 panel on social engineering. We're going to continue with that in just a moment. I wanted to give out the phone number 212-209-2950. We're in the middle of a pledge drive here at WBAI, and what you're listening to right now is a panel that took place in July of 2002, where we basically sat around with several hundred of our closest friends and made some funny phone calls. And the one that we're about to make actually is probably one of the craziest ones we ever did. Right at the point we're at now, we're just kind of trying to get the phone system to work properly and get our bearings because, as you recall, Bernie, you're still on the phone with us, aren't you?
Yes, I'm still here.
Now, AT&T kind of cut us off. That was the whole problem there. We weren't able to make long-distance calls. We weren't able to even make 800 calls because of that memo that floated around that said that there are a bunch of computer hackers that are going to be doing social engineering on this day, and we need to prevent them from doing whatever it is they're doing.
Yeah, actually, I researched that after H2K2, and it talked to some people at AT&T, and the information I was getting was conflicting, and it appeared they were hiding something. So it sounded like AT&T actually deliberately removed the long distance service from those lines. So we'll just have to use another route next time.
Yeah, well, we were able to get through, pretty easily. People donated their calling cards, and we also made some local calls, which they weren't able to stop. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. Again, our phone number is 212-209-2950. You can get a copy of that plus two other videos, or you can get three completely different videos from the H2K2 conference. You can call us 212-209-2950 to find out exactly how to get those. You can also get a 2600 hooded sweatshirt, which is another one of the premiums we're offering here tonight. And everybody who calls in and pledges 25 or over will get an off-the-hook T-shirt, which is not available to the general public, only to our friends who listen to this radio station and help us out when we come to you for financial support. 212-209-2950. See something of the hacker world. Remember, you're hearing audio right now, and I know there's some hums and buzzes and things like that, which basically you always get that in situations like this, but I think they come out more when you play it on the radio. When I was watching this before on video, you can't hear it at all. I mean, I couldn't hear it at all on a TV set. But we're also going to try and clean that up a little bit more as well for the actual final product, which is in the process of being finished. Jeff, you've got some more people to thank.
Yeah, yeah.
You brought us over the $1,000 mark, which thank you very much.
Yeah, we've got, let's see, someone that just wants it to be Danbury, Connecticut.
Okay, that's a lovely community. Danbury, Connecticut, thank you very much for your support.
We've got Tim from Aurora, Colorado.
All right.
Christopher from Maywood, New Jersey. Daniel from Albany, New York. I'll just say Atlanta, Georgia here.
Okay, more from Georgia. Thank you very much for calling. 212-209-2950 is our number. Join that turn that one caller on the line.
Martin from North Belmar, New York. Miguel from Westbury, New York. So that's what we've got so far. But we're getting calls on the station line. We really need calls on the...
You know, someone's cleaning the window out. I thought they were waving frantically at me, and they're cleaning the window. Okay, that's about as confusing as it could possibly get here. Thank you very much for doing that right now. 212-209-2950 is our phone number. We have one call on the line. We're up to 1275 in pledges. We need to bring that up significantly in order to keep up the pace. These marathons, we have to raise about $1 million, and we usually do because of the efforts of everybody pitching in. So one person calling leads to another person calling, et cetera, et cetera. And that's how basically we put everything together, radio shows, the conferences, the magazine. It's a lot of people combining efforts. So we're asking you to join us and help us reach that stage. We're going to go back now to the remainder of the social engineering, this social engineering segment. It's not the whole thing. We don't have time to play all of it. But we do want to play this one phone call, which was kind of historical in nature, hysterical, some might say. While it's playing, please give us a call, 212-209-2950. I'd like to sound a lot happier when we come back after this is over because we will have gotten a flurry of phone calls. Again, that phone number, write it down. Call your friends. Have them call, 212-209-2950. What are we
calling? Okay, this is our code.
Okay, let's try that.
What's ringing?
Okay. Someone donated another a card to us that supposedly will allow us to call 800 number. So we're going to try that. All right. Yeah. Please try to contain your enthusiasm because it's difficult to explain the sound of hundreds of people laughing to. How come I am not hearing this? Actually, can we turn down the audio at this time? See, you're turning the audio up for the things we shouldn't be hearing and turning it down for the things we should. Okay, thank you. Okay, up now.
That is an invalid card number. Please enter your card number.
Okay, I'm going to try again. Maybe I took too long. No. Okay.
Please enter the telephone number you wish to dial now.
Okay.
You have 2 hours, 1 minute for this call.
Oh. You know what that means, right? That's busy circuits. That means they're getting so many calls that they can't even give us a busy signal. Oh, well. Okay. So much for AT&T, I think. Thanks. That's the same thing. AT&T is unreachable. I have a feeling that operator read the memo, too, as she seemed awfully suspicious.
The point of view from a directory assistance operator is we do not have access to any method of dialing a call anymore. The software comes up, it pops up telling us where you're calling from, where you're calling to. All we can do is feed you to Jane, the Jane Barbie recording, giving you the number. Jane can then give you the option of dialing that number, but we don't have that capability as direct assistance operators anymore. And that's what I do in my day job, is I'm a direct assistance operator, so that's the word. Sorry, guys.
That's right. You actually do this. You actually play with the consoles and know what what happens if you actually try to dial an 800 number. I mean, punching in the numbers just won't work.
I don't have a field to enter that number into.
Wow.
Where I do have a field I can enter numbers into, it just doesn't let me send calls anymore.
Interesting. Okay, so basically social engineering is lying. It's saying things to people that are not true and trying to get information from them that they're not supposed to give you because they believe you're somebody that you're not. It's really that simple. Anybody can do it. And I'm sure we all have at some points. Maybe members of the audience would like to share some of their experiences a little bit later on as well. I'd like to still try a couple of things, if we can. Well, I'd love to try Verizon, but they tend to close on Sundays. That's the problem. Why do we schedule these things for Sundays all the time? We should have a talk about that. The retail industry, as Alex said, is great. You can have all kinds of fun with people in retail, doing all kinds of things, telling you things you're not supposed to know. Does anybody have a favorite retail place? Okay, everyone has one, apparently. Radio Shack would be great. All right. How about Starbucks? All right. So I have the page open to Starbucks. So I figure I'll give them a try. All right. Dial tone. 212? Okay. Oh, maybe turn that down a little bit. Thank you. Okay, up now.
Starbucks, 92nd and 3rd, Melville.
Yeah, this is Randy over at Network headquarters. What phone number is this?
Excuse me, 7407.
7407, okay. Did you report a problem with your wireless network?
You know what? Hold on one second.
Okay.
I personally didn't, but...
Thank you.
Hello?
Yeah.
I believe the problem is actually with our modem, but the guy who is looking into it, I can give you him in one second.
I'm sorry, can you speak up? I'm having trouble with this phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said I think it's more of our modem.
Okay, tell me what the problem is, because we're on top of this.
Personally, last night I was trying to close the credit card batch, and it kept resulting in a communication error.
What was the communications error? What was the exact error? Do you know?
I didn't exactly specify. It just said communication error, and the batch wouldn't settle.
Okay, so basically you have an unsettled batch?
That's right.
Okay, now what's happening today? Are you able to process credit cards?
Credit is going through. Starbucks cards are going through, at the register stations, but...
Are they authorizing?
Yes.
They are authorizing?
Yes.
Okay, do you have a total on the batch? Is it getting huge, or is this a crisis?
Let me check this out.
Thank
you. We're almost at $300 right now for credit cards, but that includes from last night.
Okay, do you know from what time last night?
From last time. We closed at 11 o'clock.
Okay. Now, you're dialing out on the... Have you contacted Verizon about this problem?
Verizon, I don't believe so, but like I said, our store manager called about this, so I'm not sure what steps he took.
All right, the problem, it's probably a communications protocol error of some sort, but we're trying to pin down. Do you know what part of the country you're dialing to? Is it the 800 number, or is it something up in the Northwest? Do you have the number that the modem actually dials out to?
No, I honestly don't. Is there any way I can find that?
Are you near the modem yourself right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay. If you could just read the numbers on the bottom of the modem, that would be helpful.
Okay. Are you looking... Which numbers are you looking for?
Anything resembling a phone number.
Okay.
Or anything written in by hand would be good, too.
You know what? I don't have either one.
Well, what kind of modem is it, Dave?
U.S. Robotics.
U.S. Robotics?
56.
It's a 56K modem. Okay, that could be part of the problem. I know we've been having some handshake problems with 56K in our headquarters. Do you have a listing of when the batch began, the exact time? That would help.
Sure. Let me.
In fact, if you had that first transaction, that would really help.
From today or from yesterday?
From yesterday.
Because
that's when the problem began.
Give me just a minute.
I'm sorry, speak up?
Could you give me just a minute? Also?
Yeah.
You're listening to a rebroadcast of the Social Engineering Panel from H2K2, broadcast here on Off the Hook, an expanded edition here in WBAI New York. We're currently demonstrating the ease of social engineering against a Starbucks as it was done live back in July 2002. This videotape, along with others, can be yours by calling us 212-209-2950, pledging your support to the radio station. And we have many other things for you to have as well. Please give us a call, 212-209-2950.
Yeah, we'll get all the numbers.
Sure. See, the thing with social engineering, you have to be patient sometimes, and sometimes it takes time to get information from people, and there's long caps of silence. Okay.
Hello.
Yeah.
The first one from yesterday was an American Express transaction for $357, and the time was at 7:09:50.
Was that $3.57?
That's right.
Okay. Was that American Express Optima? American Express. Do you have the number there?
I actually do not. Let me get the.
That would help us track when the problem began. If there are any attempts into.
Hang on one second. I'm gonna have to get the report.
Okay.
Different place.
If you have the name on the card, too, that might help.
Okay. The audit report rules can extend. The very first one.
Yeah.
For the account number is 371-3325.
Okay. Okay. I think I have it. I do see something. What? Do you have a name on that?
No, but I have an expiration date.
Okay. What's the expiration date?
It's 1003.
1003. Okay. And what's your name again?
My name's Sean.
Sean. Sean, we'll give you a call back and tell you how this worked out. We're going to try and work things out on this end. But if anyone else calls about this, just refer them. Just tell them that we'll get back to you in about an hour or so.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good day.
so easily entertained.
That's the first one we picked, too. The first Starbucks. Well, boy. Now, imagine, you know, there's retail outlets everywhere and people like that on the phone everywhere that will just give out information to anybody asking for it. I mean, I was making things up on the fly, network headquarters. I didn't even get the name right. I don't know where I am. Imagine if I had sat down, figured it all out, come up with a name, come up with a callback phone number, come up with a place, you know, that actually exists. You know, I could have gotten all kinds of information. You can get people to turn things off. You know, it's possible. You know, if you're really good at this kind of thing, you can have them close down for the day, you know. We have a data problem. But, you know, if you're into social engineering and low-frequency noises, you basically, my philosophy is that you do it for fun or you do it for information, but you don't do it to, you know, to cause unnecessary mayhem. For instance, years ago, I used a Rome phone system on a college campus, and they had a great feature known as Star 8. I don't know if anybody's ever used a Rome CBBX. Star 8 opens a speaker on any phone. It's really kind of cool. You basically dial Star 8, then the extension, and the phone goes boop, and you're on their speaker. Well, imagine, computer sync labs were basically sync sites where people are all working on, their programs or reports or whatever. And there's, you know, a guy in the front sitting there making sure that people go in, have ID, and that kind of thing. He's got a phone there. Well, imagine that phone going boop. Attention, the computer center will be closing in 10 minutes. And there's nothing he can do about it, and especially if you have somebody there telling you what he looks like. You say, don't pay attention to the guy in the red shirt. He doesn't even work here. you can have all kinds of fun just by, you know, figuring out how systems work and things like that. I don't know. You guys want to tell stories? I'll try to find something else here, maybe.
Do I have a mic? I guess so. I remember back at the first Hope back in 94, 8 years ago. Did anybody ever play with Encore telephone? Yeah, they were. I think it was a prerequisite to have an IQ under 60 in order to get a job at Encore. I mean, these were some of the dumbest people you'll ever meet in your entire life. No offense if anybody's from Encore, but all you needed to do to verify that you were an Encore employee was to have their password, which changed every season just about. And I remember, I believe that the password during the first Hope, which was during the summer, was summer. And then it changed to autumn the next season. At one point, it changed to couch, I remember. But the best way to get the password from them was to just pretend that you were an Encore operator and that somehow your lines got crossed. So they say, hello, Encore, can I help you? And you say, hello, Encore, can I help you? And then you'd say to them, uh-oh, I think we got a crosstalk on the line. We're going to have to trouble code this. And he said, what trouble code should I make this? And he said, oh, this and that. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I need the Encore password to verify you're really from Encore. And then, thanks. And then you'd have the password, and it was ridiculous. So we used to call up Encore and say, very similar to what Emmanuel did, and say, you know, you're from Network Operations Center. I'm sorry, the password is summer. You verify myself. I said, and we used to figure out what every key on their keyboard did. So we knew just about all their commands. But what we would like to do best was say, all right, we've heard, we just made crap up. Like, your hard drive isn't cross-linked to the fiber optic network properly. And we think you're getting a lot of ID10T errors. You know, if you spell that out, spells idiot. So we used to tell them, we need you to do something as soon as possible. Can you hold the control key, the alt key, and then hit the delete key? Now, what does your screen say? Oh, it's counting some memory or something. What does it go up to? 4,000. Oh, my God. All right. You got a big problem. I need you to disconnect your keyboard, wrap it up quickly, and start waving it until your supervisor comes over.
All
Okay, that's about all the time we're going to have for that, but that was a lot of fun. It was. Jeff, were you there for that one?
I was there taking pictures, and I think the actual call that you made after that was my favorite of the day to the restaurant.
Yeah.
That was actually closing a week after.
Well, we went out of business right after that. I hope that wasn't related. That's always a lot of fun at the conferences, the social engineering panel. But it's only one of many. Oh, boy, there are so many panels here at the conference that we taped: abuse of authority, access control devices, the argument against security through obscurity for the non-digital world. No, those are only the A's, you know. Let's look at the C's: caller ID, spoofing, conspiracies, the conscience of a hacker, crypto for the masses. There are so many here, and you can get them.
The keynote speaker as well, don't you?
Keynote speaker, Aaron Magruder, and Jello Biafra is in there. We have all kinds of things. What we'll do is take your phone call, 212-209-2950, for a pledge of $75. You get 3 hours, and we will contact you at a later date, once your check clears, or credit card, or whatever, and get the three that you want, and have those sent to you in VCD format, which will play on your DVD player, it'll play on your computer, and it's really cool. It really is something. Listening to it on the radio, that's only one side of it. Seeing the expressions, seeing what people are doing, seeing the actual demonstrations, for instance, of the lockpicking seminar that we had as well, all of that is essential to have video of, and that's why we're offering that for a pledge of $75. 212-209-2950. We have one call on the line. We're up to almost $1,500, which is great. But we need more calls. We need more people. And we need more support to keep this going. For a pledge of $125, we have the hooded sweatshirt, the brand new 2600 hooded sweatshirt, not yet available to the public. And in addition to that, you'll get 3 hours of H2K2 video. And in addition to that, everybody who pledges over $25 will receive a off-the-hook T-shirt, which I'm wearing right now, and it's quite comfortable, I'll say that. 212-209-2950. Most importantly, though, please show your support to the radio station, because it's vital to keep this place going. It's vital to have a forum where we can talk about things like this. You may have never heard anything like that before. You may have never heard a group of people making phone calls and trying to get information and sharing methods and telling stories and things like that. And that's what the hacker world is all about. We don't just always talk about serious subjects such as the shrinking freedoms that we have in our country and various other technical aspects. Sometimes we just sit down and have fun. And there's no better way to see that for yourself than to witness what went on at the last conference back here in New York, 2002. 212-209-2950. Bernie, any reflections from you?
It's just like a big flashback, Emmanuel. There was so much good information at that conference that was going around. It was just 3 days of nonstop information overload.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very entertaining, very stimulating, and I don't think anybody came away from that conference feeling like they didn't get a lot out of it.
Yeah, including a lot of the speakers, a lot of the people who had no idea what hackers were all about, who had come to speak at the conference. They saw a few of the panels, and they were just overwhelmed with the kinds of things that that were being discussed and talked about. Journalists, people who usually get it wrong, I think they got into the spirit of it all, and they realized that hackers aren't the bad guys here. Hackers are the ones that are playing around with systems, figuring things out, telling people about weaknesses, it's just really cool. If you couldn't make it to the conference, this is the next best thing. And if you did make it to the conference, it's great to be able to remember it this way.
Or catch up on the things you missed.
Yeah, that's
right. You can't be in two or three places at once.
I mean, just to give you an idea of how much there was, it's taken us this long just to get to the point where we can get it onto a video format where people can look at it. There's so much material here. There's so much that happened. And it takes a long time to get it all together. And you know, you need good people sitting down and figuring out how to do it once and for all and finishing it. 212-209-2950, and hopefully many of you will be able to share in that experience, because we do want it to get out there to as many people as possible. What we're doing is we're donating the videos to the radio station in an effort to raise money, and that's what it's all about. 212-209-2950. We are not profiting from the videos, the shirts, or anything else. All this is a donation from us. So if 1,000 people were to call right now and demand the social engineering video, we'd have to come come up with 1,000 of those and give it to the radio station. That's how it works. So if you really want to hurt us, you know, drive us out of business, call 1,000 of your closest friends, get them all to call up at once, and, you know, we'll be forced to donate everything that we said we were going to give. But you know what? We'll go out of business with a smile, because it's, you know, supporting the radio station is what's really important here. And that's why we're here today. That's why we're doing 3 hours of this program. That's right, 3 hours. We're on until 10 o'clock. And we really want to see your support. We have 3 phone calls on the line. That's great. It's important to point out, though, that this radio station exists solely through the calls that people make in times like this to keep the radio station on the air. We don't get underwriting. You haven't heard any announcements from Microsoft or Intel, have you? I don't think so. We can say Microsoft sucks. We can say Intel sucks. We can say Pepsi sucks. We can say the United States government sucks. We can say all kinds of things like that. Or we can say, you know, they're all great. We can say what we want because it's all about opinions. It's all about presenting things in alternative ways. We open the phone lines up for listeners week after week where you can call in and voice your opinions, tell your stories of injustice. We have letters that we get constantly from people who mail us telling us things that have happened to them. We share that information over the airwaves. And Bernie, firsthand, you've had experience where your message, when you were in trouble years ago, got out to thousands and thousands of people, and it really did make a difference, didn't it?
It made a huge difference, and I know I'm not the only person who's had this show make a big difference in their life personally. So it's a really well worthwhile project to support, and it's been ongoing for years, and I think it's going to continue to do a lot of good.
Don't let economic realities, you know, ruin everything for everybody. Because when you think about it enough, you get really depressed, you know, and you realize, hey, you know, I can't afford to do this, so I'm just not going to do it anymore. And this station doesn't make any sense. It can't possibly survive in the middle of the FM dial. So let's just let a commercial station take it over. You know, there still isn't a country music station in New York City. How would you like it if you turned on 99.5 in one day? Yeah, it could happen. It could. I mean, you know, we're not going to give up without a fight. But, you know, the economic realities could kick in and make it so that it's impossible. It could happen. Imagine if there was no support. Imagine if those calls on the line now all winked out and were not replaced by anyone else. How would we survive? You know, we have no commercials. You know, we have no way of raising funds from the programming in that manner. And many radio stations make a killing doing this. They really do. I mean, radio is a money-making industry. But here, it's different. This is a different kind of radio station. So we're not raising the money to pay ourselves. We're not raising the money to, you know, basically make everything glittery like it is at those other stations that employ like 3 people and 10 computers. We're using it to keep the equipment working, to keep the phones intact, and to make sure that that the signal continues to broadcast off the Empire State Building, 50,000 watts, 212-209-2950, and that's why your support is so essential. You have more people to thank?
I got a couple that are left over from the last group. I believe this is Janos from Fort Jefferson Station in New York.
Oh, wow. I know it well. That's a great area.
And we got a Michelle from Tarrytown, New York,
uh-huh.
And even a little comment down here on the bottom. Love the show.
Well, that's great. That's great. Even if you only like the show,
and you know what's really encouraging is the fact that these people are pledging for premiums like the T-shirt,
mm-hmm.
and they're pledging more money than is required to get the T-shirt.
That's great.
That is
really is, that shows you something about the AI spirit when people give even more than the bare minimum to get something. Because it's not the something that you're pledging for. I mean, you know, we offer that as an incentive, but what you're pledging for is the radio station. So if the radio station is really important to you, pledge whatever you feel reflects that. You know, it's it does matter. A couple of years ago, when this place was in danger of being wiped off the face of the earth, yeah, it really did happen. It really did happen, and it could happen again. But when that was occurring, we saw people come out. We saw people come out of the woodwork and, you know, do whatever it took to keep the place from falling into the wrong hands, from just being destroyed. And they won. They won because they had that spirit. And that's what we need now in the way of raising funds. Calling up 212-209-2950. And again, we're on until 10 o'clock tonight. It's currently 8:53. We have all kinds of other things to talk about and bring you. We could easily do a three-hour show every week without doing fundraising. That's how much material we have. But that wouldn't be fair to all the other people who are out there who have different programs. And that's, you know, that's the nature of this radio station. You have hundreds and hundreds of different kinds of voices throughout the course of a week that talk about all kinds of different issues. And you learn. You learn so much by listening to other programs as well. And that's why I encourage people to keep that dial set to 99.5. And hopefully we'll figure out ways to keep the internet signal going. Now, Jones, we were talking about this earlier. We're facing from Live 365. A cutoff next week, and that might cut down our signal by half on the internet. Right now, we're putting our heads together. We're trying to figure out ways. People actually around here are actually donating more bandwidth. It's amazing the spirit that you get of contribution. We never would have gotten to this stage as it is right now if people weren't willing, such as yourself, to donate time, equipment, and effort just to keep it working, you know. And it's a microcosm of what the radio station is all about, you know. The signal gets out to people in all kinds of different ways, whether it's over the air or whether it's through wires on the internet or, you know, word of mouth, whatever. It all takes effort. Now, I'm sure there are people out there who want to help out. What's the best way for them to reach us?
Well, they can email oph@2600.com, or you can email me directly. It's Juntz, J-U-I-N-T-Z, @2600.com. If you have anything to offer, you know, servers, bandwidth, anything would be great. We're really facing a serious crunch because, like I said, Live 365 took it made us feel a lot safer because we knew no matter what, we could always dump people to that and it'd be fine. And we're losing that. So, yeah 200-300 connections tops, and that's it.
See, I know something's going to happen. I don't want to sound like, you know, one of those religious people on TV, but I know someone out there is going to come through for us and keep it going so that we don't lose all the listeners that listen to us over the internet. And they turned into a lot of people over the last couple of years. You know, internet radio is still pretty much in its infancy. But when it first started out, we're talking, you know, like a handful of people on most radio stations. In fact, I'm convinced to this day that, you know, commercial radio stations only get, you know, a handful, literally, of listeners. Why would somebody want to listen to a commercial radio station in a different city when it sounds exactly the same as the one that's in your city?
It's the same thing over and over. No,
it's the same songs. Only the commercials are a little different. Do you really care enough to listen to foreign commercials from a different city? I mean, no, I don't think so. So a station like WVAI, though, you won't hear a station like that someplace else. Bernie, in Philadelphia, can you turn on your radio and hear WVAI?
Unfortunately, I can't.
No, you can't, because you'll get some like soft rock or something at 99.5 down there coming out of Delaware, I think.
Sure.
If you're up in Albany, you'll get modern music or 70s hits or something like that. If you're in Boston, you get country music. Yeah, they have country music at 99.5 in Boston. I know about that because they interfere with us sometimes on Eastern Long Island. It's very difficult. You'll hear commercial college radio stations sometimes that provide all kinds of alternatives, but they're not 50,000 watts. They're not in the middle of New York City. They won't reach this kind of audience, and they don't have the kind of resources of being able to cover world events like WBAI has. WBAI is instrumental in that, and we've been around since 1960 making history. So we're asking you to keep that going so that we can be around for another, 43 years. 212-209-2950. Listeners have gotten us to that stage as it is, and we need to continue along those lines. 212-209-2950. Two calls on the line. And
Amanda, we got a question. What sizes are the sweatshirts?
Well, the sweatshirts actually are, I believe, XL and L. And we might have some XXLs as well. That's something you can indicate when you call in, or we can call you and get that information later if it's not indicated. So don't panic if you didn't get that information out. We'll get it one way or another. 212-209-2950.
Also, since we already had the social engineering panel, I decided to mention that Avi and Hope, at their social engineering panel, which was about almost 7 years ago.
1997.
The summer of 97. They called Kmart.
Actually, it was August of 1997, not December.
They said December? Oh, it doesn't matter anymore. At the social engineering panel, they called Kmart And pretend to be another Kmart just to get on the PA system. Now, just for you who want to try this out, an easier way to get into a PA system of a major department store is to just call them up. And what happens is that people inside the store don't know most of the time if you're calling from inside the store or from outside of the store. And so they automatically assume that you're an employee if you sound like an employee. So what you do is basically call them up and say, can you connect me to the PA system? And that's it, they will.
Well, you know, I don't think it's that easy because I don't think people are going to need to be connected to the PA system. They're going to know how to do it themselves. Like in Home Depot, for instance, every employee knows how to do that.
That's what I thought, but it worked on every single sort that I called, which is about 4 or 5.
All right, well, another thing, though, is to watch employees in Home Depot or other places when they get on the PA system, which is a lot, and see what they dial. And those phones are everywhere. But
yeah.
I'm not saying people should do that. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes when you need customer assistance and there's no representatives around, sometimes you have to take matters into your own hands. but it's all about education. It's all about spreading information and learning how it all works. That's what we're about here at Off the Hook.